Today on Real Life Radio.
Don't you, inside of you, long and desire to be saved, rescued, to be in heaven, to see God, to experience Him? The answer to that question is an overwhelming yes. Even if you're an atheist, I think you're lying about being an atheist, by the way. I know you look beautiful if you're here right now. But if you're an atheist and you say, I don't believe in God, you know what? I think you do.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Forgiveness. Some of us want to hear it at times, and some of us don't. The Gift of Forgiveness, the feature offer for May by Dr. Charles Stanley. It's a wonderful book. And friends, listen, honestly, we always have great resources for you, but this is extra special. And here's the reason why. We so much misunderstand the ministry of forgiveness. Please get a copy of this book for yourself. It will change your life, and you might be surprised to find out that forgiveness actually winds up setting you free. Find out more by getting this special May Resource of the Month offer, The Gift of Forgiveness by Dr. Charles Stanley.
The Gift of Forgiveness by Charles Stanley is our gift to you for your generous donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a Study in 1 Peter, with a message titled From Here to Eternity, Part 2. In part one of this message, we learned that our journey towards heaven, though difficult and painful at times, still fills us with the confidence that the power of God is keeping us today and will see us through to the end. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that God's hope is a living hope. He's merciful, he's generous, and he delights in the fact that we are his. God is always at work in our lives, and he gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us and perfect us towards purity. Now, in his message called From Here to Eternity, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, we ask, Lord, now that you would go before us in your holy, lofty, awesome, precious word, the Bible. And God, we thank you that this morning we are gathered around truth that will never fail, truth that is always, always not only enduring, but everything else will fade away. When eternity is all alone by itself, your word will stand sure and firm. So Father, this morning, give us ears to hear and give us a heart of a student. And may we have our pens poised, as it were, as the ready writer to be ready to learn. And Father, we thank you for what you worked through your word in a man called Peter for us to learn about today. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You read a moment ago where Peter is announcing to us and to those that were in the dispersion, remember those that had been driven out from their culture because of being a Christian. They're, as it were, on foot in the Roman Empire. They're being persecuted for their faith. Emperor Nero has launched a gruesome attack against them. And Peter writes to them who are fleeing because of their association with Jesus. And he tells them, as you read a moment ago, that it's a living hope that God has given them. And this living hope, as we saw last time, is a hope that it's something beyond that this world can offer. This world will offer you and I a type of hope, but the hope that the world gives us is a broken hope. It's a hope that cannot be guaranteed. It's a hope that is fleeting. It's what the world offers, and it's all that they can offer, is this type of hope. God's hope is a never-ending hope, is a forever hope, and it's founded upon the very fact of Jesus Christ. You read a moment ago that it's Christ who's been risen from the dead. Your hope, listen, your hope, that is not your ability to keep hope alive. Your hope is a living hope that is imparted to you by God. It's God's business to keep that hope alive in your life. And he will do it. How sure can we be of that? Because Christ lives. He was resurrected from the dead. That's how assured your hope is. And we'll learn more about that today. We saw that in our previous study that it's about confidence. When we talked about the portion of this scripture regarding our lives and eternity, we saw, number one, that we're to be confident. The Christian could be confident. And we looked at three very important things in chapter 1, verse 3. And that is that we can be confident knowing this, that God is delighted. Verse 3, it announced to us that God is delighted to be our God and to have us as his children. We saw that our God is merciful. Our God is merciful in a world of persecution and hurt. It's our God that extends to us mercy. We saw that he's generous. Our God is very generous. He's provided all that we need in this life as believers. God will never fail us. Then we saw in our study that we can have confidence and that we can be assured. Verses 4 through 5. We saw this, that we can be assured knowing that he gives all, that God is the one who spent the life of his own dear son to guarantee for us this salvation, to give us this assured hope. He gives all. We saw also, and it's comforting to us, in verse 5, we learned that God cannot fail us. It is impossible. Church, listen. It's impossible for God to fail you and I. We need to hear that because often we think that God does fail us. We would never admit it, but we feel like God fails us. He doesn't fail us. He can't do that. When everything else seems to be falling apart, we can be confident in knowing he will not fail us. And then we left off with this last time, is that it's God's idea. It is God's plan. It is God himself who brings to us salvation at the end of verse 5. God brings the salvation. Listen, you don't need to raise your hand. Don't you, inside of you, long and desire to be saved, rescued, to be in heaven, to see God, to experience him? The answer to that question is an overwhelming yes. Even if you're an atheist, I think you're lying about being an atheist, by the way. I know you look beautiful if you're here right now. But if you're an atheist and you're saying, I don't believe in God, you know what? I think you do. If you say, I don't believe in eternity, you know what? I think you do. I don't wonder, I don't worry about death. I think you do. And the reason why, I'm not making fun of you, the reason why is because you and I are, as believers, know something about what goes on in your life too as an unbeliever. And that is the Holy Spirit is alive and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and he wants to bring you salvation. Isn't it remarkable? You don't want anything to do with heaven, but God wants you in heaven and God wants you to experience his salvation. So church, here we go. The third argument, we pick it up now, is found in verses 6 through 7, and that is this. From here to eternity, God is at work, and listen, we are to be a pure people. Now, I don't want to lose you on this. A pure people. So what does that mean? Well, we're going to look at that. God requires that you and I, watch, be pure in our Christian witness and conduct in life. Internally, that is in our thought life, and externally by our actions, we are to be pure both now and forever, and God is at work doing that. And so look at verse 6. It says, in this, Peter is announcing, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Every Christian must go through trials. But the first thing we see about this is that we are to be made pure, and that is by perfecting. Can you write that down? You need to put that in your notes. Verse 6 is telling us that God is at work in the life of every believer, perfecting us toward purity. There's an awesome theological fact that we can take comfort in knowing right now, and it is this, that God, who is the one that desires you and I to meet him, face to face, is preparing you and I. Church, listen, how was your morning this morning? How was yesterday? What was going on in your life? How has your week been since last Sunday to today? Whatever has gone on in your life as a believer, God is using, God is working, God has been molding and shaping you in this area of perfecting you toward purity. This is the life of the Christian. That's why life's hard for the Christian. God is working. Look around here. The place is being remodeled and done up. Things are being sanded. Things are being scraped. If you'd have walked in here earlier this week, they had some saws going and metal was being cut and sparks were flying. What was happening? Construction. God does the same thing. He's doing a work in our lives, and he does that by perfecting. And Peter tells us, in this you greatly rejoice. quite remarkable. Can you and I today admit that it's been a trying time or a difficult time or a time that you've never encountered before? Then you can just mark right now, I don't understand what's going on. I know that I'm a believer. I'm trusting God. Then what is happening? God is saying to you right now, you can greatly rejoice. Watch this. Choose to now greatly rejoice knowing this, that for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. The trials do grieve us. Now you might say, look, Jack, come on, look at that verse. Is there something wrong with my Bible? It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while we are grieved by these trials. That one verse has got rejoicing and trials in the same verse. Is the Christian really supposed to be somebody who can rejoice in the midst of trials? Church, the answer to that is yes. We often fail, we often miss it, because listen, we're not walking in that place of realizing God is always at work in our lives. Even, listen, maybe so, even when we feel as though he's not. God is at work. James chapter 1 tells us, verse 2, James chapter 1 verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing, now this is awesome, not feeling, but knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect or perfecting work, that you may be, what does it say? Perfect. The word means complete. God is at work. He wants you and I to be pure. And we would all sign up, yes, God, do that in my life. And God says, okay. And he rolls up his sleeves, as it were, and he goes to work on you and I. And that happens with people, interaction. Marriage, life, business, work, issues. Listen, it happens in your head. Thoughts, debates, arguments in your own mind. Temptations, issues that are thrown at us. Everything under the sun. God is saying, I'm at work. I'm perfecting you. And it's a good thing. It's a great work. It's a painful work, but it's a great work. First of all, we need to remember this. What he's saying to us, how can we possibly rejoice in these difficulties? Because what Peter is saying, and I love the fact that Peter's saying it because he's lived it. Peter is saying basically this. Allow me to put it this way. Your rejoicing can be at 30,000 feet above the weather, looking down upon all that's going on. Because it is not a feeling, it is a perspective, it is an act of faith that you and I take, that we're going through the storm, we're going through this cancer, we're going through this battle, we're going through this issue, and I'm gonna choose now to trust God at his word that he's working in my life. I don't understand it. Church, wouldn't it be great if we understood everything that was going on? That would be great, but here's the deal. There would be no reason for faith if you understood everything that's going on. I wish I could tell you something different, but that's the way it is. And so God's given us his word to choose. I'm going to rejoice in this situation. And Peter remarkably says that it's just for a season. It's just for a little while. The word little while here means for a short season. It means for a season. I love the word. It means a season, like in a year, four seasons. It means that it's a little shorter of a season. We've had that in life. We've had that in California. Our winters are a short season, and our summers are long. You might say, well, Jack, my grief has been long, and my relief has been short. Whatever the case may be, God's word tells us that whatever you and I are going through, it's a short season. In eternity, in life, it's all going to be worth it.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And when the Bible says here to rejoice, because it's just a little while, listen to this. The word rejoice here means, and you're going to want to write this down, the word means to make glorious. It's incumbent upon the believer, are you a Christian this morning? This is what God's word says to you. The situation you're in today, you must decide, I'm going to make it glorious from this perspective of 30,000 feet. It means to make exalted. It means to put something in the category of rejoicing. I'm going to repeat that. I like that. Do you like that? Take the issue and put it over in the category that is labeled rejoicing. So, Christian, what is it in your life right now? What is that thing that is just gnawing on you? You know, we all have those things. And if you don't have those things, we are going home with you today because we could use your encouragement. It's the gnawing, it's the biting, it's the issues, it's the stuff. God says, take it, Jack, and place it under the category of rejoicing. You got to move it over there. Highlight it, cut, go to the category of rejoice, paste. That's what God would have us to do. That's a decision you and I make. It's a willful decision. And all of your life's issues, the hardships, the fractured things, God would have you put that under the category of praise and worship. Listen, you go, there's no greater thing. And you know, first service, don't tell second or third service this, but first service, you guys show up for worship. And that's a smart thing. You're very, very smart. Second service is pretty good. Third service shows up just about 10 minutes before service is over. They don't realize that they're ripping themselves off. Whenever you and I do not take our challenges to worship and rejoice, we rip ourselves off. Take what it is in your life, set it before an altar in your bedroom or in your living room, or go outside in the backyard and take out a lawn chair and set the issue down. If you have to, write something on it. Write, this is the thing that makes me sick. Put it in a chair there and say, Lord, I'm giving it to you, and I'm gonna decide, choose willfully now, get into rejoicing, and I'm gonna praise you. And that stuff begins to lose its bite. And if you don't believe me, go home and try it, and then write me later and say, wow. It's true. Determined to do that. And the word grieved, this is a powerful word, that we be grieved for a little while, a little season. The word means to be in great distress. It means to be made heavy hearted or to become sorrowful of soul, emotionally wounded in body, spirit, or mind. That exact word is this word. Matthew 26, 37, you know the event. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's nearing the moment of his arrest and the cross. And the Bible says, and he, Jesus, took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and, what's the word? Deeply distressed. Jesus had that exact same event take place in his life. And the Bible says, Peter says, which I think is remarkable, Peter was there when Jesus was going through his hour of great distress. Do you remember what, they all fell asleep. Jesus comes back and says, couldn't you stay awake and prayed for me for an hour? And years later now, when Peter writes this, he's an old man now. I wonder if that was in his head. I think I'm pretty certain it was in his head. But the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible, and he uses the same word for our lives, that we're gonna go through the crushing in life where you and I have a great sense that we've reached the end of hope. But that's not true. Grieved by various trials. The word various trials means multicolored, I love this, multicolored, multifaceted trials. So what does that mean? Anything and everything that's coming against your life, God is using. Now, I don't want to belabor this. This next part's not in my notes, and I want to stay true to the time. If Satan brings against you, or the world brings against you, a temptation, remember, Satan tempts, the world tempts. God doesn't tempt us. And being tempted is not a sin. You're all familiar with the verse, what Satan has meant for evil, God turned it around for good, right? So when Satan draws his arrow and shoots you in the head with a thought, and you start to battle that thought, what the enemy's trying to do to kill you spiritually or sterilize you spiritually, God takes his weaponry and gets involved in your life, and a battle ensues regarding that temptation, and you fight it by bringing that thought under the captivity of Christ 100 times a day if you have to, but you don't give in. And you fight. And even though Satan engineered it, God will use it to perfect you. Listen, if Satan pulls out 3 arrows and shoots them at you at one time, and as you walk with God and you are resisting those and fighting those and you are victorious in the fight, look, your armor may be dented, you might have dirt across your face, but you're winning. You're fighting and you're winning. This is the Christian life. And as that victory is there, now, in our modern day language, I would say it this way. Great job, Jack. Hang on to my word. Get ready. Catch your breath because another assault's going to come by the enemy. You're doing great. Hang in there, buddy. And oh, by the way, keep your eye on the prize because what he's trying to do to destroy you, watch what happens. Jack, here's what I'm going to do. Every time he launches a big one against you, it's going to be reflected off and I'm going to redirect it, Jack, and it's going to land right on the enemy's head. Isn't that what the psalmist talks about? Lord, hear the attacks of my enemy and bring it upon his own head. Even the temptation Satan launches. Now, on the other side, there are the trials that are engineered by God. Trials come to us to grow us up, to perfect us, always to perfect us. We could be, listen, we can go through a trial and be walking and, listen, are you listening? You can be afflicted with a trial and be walking dead on with God in a wonderful submitted life to God. And you're going through a tremendous thing. Why? Because God is graduating you up to the next level of spiritual growth. Or you could be a believer and you could be sinning. You can be in rebellion against God. And as a believer, God will allow a trial to come into your life to get your attention, to get you back. David said, I went astray, but when you afflicted me, I returned back to your word. And everybody knows what that's like. Grieved. I had to share this with you. Dr. Warren Wiersbe says about this, when God's children go through a season of testing, he is careful to keep his eye on the clock and his hand on the thermostat. He's what you're going through. God's got an expiration date on it. Don't panic. Peter says, don't panic. God's got an eye on the clock and he's got a hand on the thermostat, meaning you're not going to get burned. This time of purification, which leads us, by the way, to verse 7, the fact that God will make us pure by refining. He perfects us. And how does he do that? By refining, to be refined. Verse 7 says that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. Wow. Though it is tested by fire. Notice, please mark it in your Bible, in your notes. Your faith. Look, he says the genuineness of your personal, private faith. Church, it is the most valuable asset that you own is your faith.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called From Here to Eternity, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Well, listen, everybody, I actually consider you family here in the Real Life get-together, either by teaching or like this, prayer. You know, not too long ago, I encouraged all of you to join us in prayer regarding God's truth. And I'm going to ask you this month, if you would just write this down or somehow give yourself a reminder that together, let's pray this month for God's mercy to be upon our country. Now, I'm here in America right now, and I know people hear this around the world. So you insert your country. But right now in the United States, we are in great peril as a nation. We have rejected God in our courts, our schools, our culture. We have evicted God from our government. And I'm sorry to say this, but there's many so-called churches that have removed God from their experience. We need his mercy. With all that's going on in the world right now, with wars and the threat of looming catastrophes, earthquakes and volcanoes, we pray, Lord, for your mercy to be upon us. We know that we deserve your judgment as a nation. We would not disagree. But we're asking you, Lord, to extend your mercy to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of us, as God's people, said, amen. Forgiveness. Some of us want to hear it at times, and some of us don't. The Gift of Forgiveness, the feature offer for May by Dr. Charles Stanley. It's a wonderful book. And friends, listen, honestly, we always have great resources for you, but this is extra special. And here's the reason why. We so much misunderstand the ministry of forgiveness. Please get a copy of this book for yourself. It will change your life, and you might be surprised to find out that forgiveness actually winds up setting you free. Find out more by getting this special May Resource of the Month offer, The Gift of Forgiveness by Dr. Charles Stanley.
The Gift of Forgiveness by Charles Stanley is our gift to you for your generous donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. Go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.